Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 144. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Craig, it's time to season some Oscars.
Jambalaya.
All right, so I guess we should say welcome to this Oscar seasoning edition of FNU, the first of this season, which is exciting, I guess. We can, I don't know how accurate we're going to be with all this because it's September, and when you come up with sure things and front runners in September, usually by January and February, you end up with a lot of egg on your face, you know?
Oh yeah, I'm a big proponent of not calling the race so soon. I think we've discussed this several times last year. I like talking about it, and I'm not really. I'm only concerned about picking the right thing on Oscar night, and so I try to keep an open mind, and I definitely try to avoid calling the race before, you know, January. But sometimes it's happened to where the front runner wins the best picture. But I always going to go into it as if it's up in the air. Because at this point, it's true. I don't even know if the ball's been thrown at this point, right? So it's not really up in the air.
Well, there are all these festivals happening. A few have happened, obviously Cannes earlier in the year. And now we've got things like Toronto Film Festival, Telluride, New York Film Festival coming up. And that's when all these big-time so-called prestige pictures and Oscar movies really rear their heads and people actually see them, and we know if the hype is substantiated and is worth all the fuss that everybody heaps on these movies before we even see an image of most of them. It's all based on names in the cast and directors and even studios, and that's all the information we have to go on, and that means literally nothing when it comes to whether or not it will actually even get nominated for or win Oscars. We know the whole trope of Oscar bait, and many of these could fall under that umbrella, but if that remains to be seen, we'll get into some of those titles. But Craig, I first want to point out that we at Film Nerds, we've talked about our favorite movies of the year so far, and I'm guessing that most of the movies on my list of favorite movies of 2016 so far, as of mid-September, are probably not going to be in the Oscar race. None of them. I mean, I'm talking about Everybody Wants Some and Hail Caesar and Green Room and Captain America Civil War and maybe even The Lobster, unless that sort of slides into the original screenplay category. I don't know, but it's a shame that none of those will be in it, but that's just kind of part of the deal. Are any movies that you've seen so far movies that you think will land any nominations?
No, if we're talking straight best picture, I really don't think so. I mean, Finding Dory will definitely be in the animated discussion, but I don't see it being that animated film that gets into the true best picture conversation at all. You know, I kind of think the BFG fell on deaf ears, unfortunately. I don't think so. I think so far, this is, you know, there's been a lot of talk of it being kind of a weak summer. But there have been some really great movies this summer. And I really liked The Witch. Have you seen that one?
Nope, it's on my list. I haven't.
It's a pretty good little movie. But I don't see it being a discussion, although I have seen it being talked about. But I don't think it will be in the true proverbial discussion.
No, that's the weird thing about these movies and about, like, as long as we've been following this ridiculous Oscar stuff, it's like I can look at a movie like The Witch and just, like, I know what people think about it, and I know what kind of adoration surrounds it, but I can tell you right now it's not going to get nominated for Best Picture or anything for that matter. You know, you can just look at a movie, no matter how good it is, and you can say there's no way that gets nominated for anything. And the list of movies I just shared, they're all what I consider them all really good to great movies. And the Academy and just sort of the general annual discussion, it's going to leave these great movies out just because they don't fit the mold, the criteria that exist out there. And I think that more and more we're seeing that criteria change, especially when movies like Birdman win Best Picture, which has to be maybe the weirdest movie to ever win Best Picture from an auteur like Alejandro Iñárritu, and in a movie like Boyhood from a director like Linklater, who had previously been out of the Oscar conversation entirely until that. So the fact that a movie like that and a movie like Grand Budapest Hotel can win a bunch of Oscars, maybe that means that things are changing a little bit. But again, the list that we're going down now in terms of what we have seen and what many, many, many movie lovers really adore in 2016 so far, it's a shame that they're just going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention Boyhood and Grand Budapest as well for that. They were both released really early in that year, which I think is encouraging that, you know, we don't have as short term a memory as we used to. Remember back in the day, maybe just it still happens today, but I think especially a decade ago with kind of Million Dollar Baby 2004 and those in that kind of range of years, it was like it was almost like studios were waiting to release their movie at the last second because voters, that's what they would remember. You know, it was like one big grand finale of a fireworks show. That's what you remember. So they waited to the last second to get their movie in. And then it worked for Million Dollar Baby in 04, but the Boyhood in Grand Budapest was March. So that, I thought that was really cool that still was in the running. And along with Boyhood, I believe it was later that year, but I think it was in the summer. So hopefully that's a trend. I don't know that we saw it. Mad Max, you know, there you go. Mad Max was one that kind of came out a little early. So I think, I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, I kind of like these movies that are definitely, for one, they're not your typical Oscar movie, then two, they movies that come out earlier in the year instead of later.
Yeah, you know, again, like the only movies that I've seen so far that I think will be nominated for anything are, you already mentioned, animated movies, like Finding Dory, Zootopia, I think will probably be nominated, so it'll be interesting to see Disney competing with itself. I don't know if Sausage Party is gonna squeeze in there. I think that would be really interesting because, I mean, it was well liked by critics. It's a hit. It's made a big profit. So Sausage Party, I think, should at least be in the conversation. If that gets an Oscar nomination for animated feature, that'd be amazing. The only other movie that I've seen that I think could garner some sort of Oscar attention now, I saw Sully last week, which you mentioned Million Dollar Baby. Clint Eastwood, he's an Oscar darling, or at least he was. I mean, it's been a while since. I guess American Sniper was nominated for a few Oscars, so maybe that counts.
Yeah.
But Sully could do something. I think like it's going to end up being considered a little too slight of a movie. It's really good. Like, it's really well made, and Clint Eastwood is still a very good director, and it has an excellent lead performance from Tom Hanks. But I think, you know, if Tom Hanks can't get nominated for Captain Phillips or Bridge of Spies, I foresee what will probably be yet another competitive category in Best Actor this year when all these movies finally start coming out, all these performances start getting. So I'm guessing Tom Hanks is going to get left out again. I mean, it's been 20 years since the guys won an Oscar, more than 20 years for that matter. So, I don't know if his time is coming again, even though he's giving all these great performances. But I don't know. It's weird to think that Tom Hanks is like an Oscar underdog at this point.
Well, what I'm afraid is going to happen is that it's going to get really, really late in his career and life. And you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award, that'd be awesome. But I'm afraid they're just going to hand him the Oscar for a performance that isn't nearly as good as the Bridge of Spies performance or the Sully performance or any of the other performances the last 15 years that he wasn't nominated for. And, you know, while he deserves an Oscar, yeah, but let's try and award him for, you know, movies that maybe he deserves. And I guess it's subjective to say that he deserves those, but I haven't seen Sully yet, so I can't really say, but I don't really get why he's not being nominated. And I agree, the lead actor category is as crowded, probably the most crowded category year to year. It's really insane about how crowded it is. But Yeah, I just don't want it to happen where they just kind of lob a softball Oscar for him later in his career, just because, you know, they say, well, you know, you did so many great performances that we probably should have nominated you or given an Oscar for. So we'll do that now with kind of a basic performance.
Yeah, maybe it turns out to be kind of like a Meryl Streep Iron Lady situation, where it's like, well, yeah, you know, it's been a while since she won. You know, she gets nominated all the time, so. You know what? Let's give Meryl another Oscar. Why not?
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that'll happen. But look, I mean, I'm looking at short lists for, you know, projections for Best Actor right now, and you know, if Logan Lerman is on the short list for Best Actor in September, then maybe it won't be as competitive of a year as we think.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I can't help but laugh when I see that name, because I think of that meme with that girl holding the Goosebumps books. Can't help it. But anyways, yeah, I saw that name too, and I was thinking this, maybe we're a little too jumping the gun a little too much on this Oscar talk if Logan Lerman's still on an actor list. But
yeah, whatever. Probably. Well, let's keep jumping the gun for a minute. Let's go category by category. Let's start with Best Picture, Craig, and there are a handful of movies that, again, like, we haven't seen most of these, and that's what makes this whole thing ridiculous. But again, it just becomes so predictable, and you can just read the reviews, you can read the recaps of festivals, you can sort of get a sense of, to use this word for the first time, the buzz heading into the season, where you kind of have an idea of, okay, this is how it's trending. This is what we can actually look towards once all this award stuff starts. And the handful of names in the Best Picture category that I'm seeing are Damien Chazelle's La La Land, the mm-hmm. sort of like dreamy L.A. musical. You've got mm-hmm. Jeff Nichols with his second movie coming out this year, Loving, a historical drama, civil rights drama. You've got Denis Villeneuve's new science fiction movie, Arrival, with Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner. You've got Kenneth Lonergan's new movie, Manchester by the Sea, with Casey Affleck and Kyle Chandler and Michelle Williams. And then mm-hmm. you have this movie by a director, I believe his name is Barry Jenkins, called Moonlight, that is making a ton of noise right now.
Mm-hmm.
So those
mm-hmm.
are really kind of the big five right now that I'm hearing most from. And there was another movie that was an enormous hit at Sundance called The Birth of a Nation from Nate Parker, that I'm sure a lot of people know about at this point, that everybody sort of pegged as the Oscar movie heading into Oscar season, the movie that everybody has seen by now and has loved and has said, this guy's the next big thing, this movie's going to make a huge amount of noise. But then obviously something in real life got in the way, in that he was, you know, this murder charge, I'm sorry, let me retract that, this rape charge that emerged that he was obviously acquitted for many years ago. This story reared its head again and has compromised this movie's Oscar chances, it seems. And I don't know if it's compromised its distribution or whatever, and how many eyes are on it, but we'll see if The Birth of a Nation sort of makes it through the season. But along with those five movies that I've mentioned, Birth of a Nation, I think it's probably going to stay in the conversation. But Craig, out of those, or even just all of those, do those sound like winners to you? Not necessarily Oscar winners, but movies that we should keep an eye on heading into the season?
So, I'm sidetracking this bigger, separate podcast Nate Parker discussion as it relates to film backlash of actors and directors that participate in those movies. Because I think that's an interesting discussion to have at some point. But I think La La Land at this point is the movie that's getting all the talk right now. I think it's monopolizing the buzz, if you will. It's a pretty cool trailer. Everybody's going nuts the trailer. I really think this will still be in the discussion at the end of the year. I think it's really great that Jeff Nichols is getting his movies talked about in the Best Picture discussion in a genuine, serious way. I love this director. I've loved every movie he's done. But you know, it's one of those where it's like you're watching this director sort of find his way, sort of really kind of nail down his style and his voice. And I think he's done that. And to see him with two movies right now, both in the Best Picture discussion, I think is really cool. And knowing his style and how he's kind of the Southern director really kind of paints the Southern world really perfectly, in my opinion. To see him take on something like Loving, knowing what that's about, I think he can really blow this out of the water. And so I really hope this Jeff Nichols movie Loving stays in the race, because I really think he's the right man for a job like this. I think it'd be very interesting to see a Southern director's vision on a topic like that. I've really seen Manchester by the Sea staying in as well. Arrival, I'm not sure. I hear great things about Amy Adams' performance, but you know there are those handful of movies that the performance of the actors are so good that their movie gets in the discussion, but then as it kind of happens and the year progresses, like the movie falls out, but the actor stays, sort of, you know, kind of like a Carol or what's another one I'm thinking? The Danish Girl, something like that, you know, where it actually kind of, it's all fleshed out. The performances are great, but maybe the movie isn't quite up to speed as the others. But again, I haven't seen these. This is just kind of guessing based on my experience keeping up with the Oscars. Of course, Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, too. Yeah, you know, we're talking about Clint Eastwood, Sully. That could fall off, but it's Eastwood, so you never really know. They could put him in, you know, he could be nominated for director and not picture, or it could be left off both. I've heard some about James Shamus's indignation, and that's the Logan Lerman one, so that's probably going to fall off. have you heard as much about Hell or High Water as I have?
Yeah, I've definitely heard a lot about it. I know people love it, and it's actually playing in Tuscaloosa, and I hope to see it this weekend. But again, it's just one of those where it's like, I don't know. I think we're just like grasping at straws for movies that could be considered for the Oscar conversation, just because. Yeah. Maybe it's great, and maybe it's deserving. But again, like, just based on the past and these ridiculous trends and the way the Oscar timeline works, a movie that's making a little bit of noise in early to mid September has honestly little to no shot.
I agree. You know, I think of this time of year, mid-September, a Western. I think of 310 to Yuma, nothing. I think of all the, you know, it's just they are in the, they're in the talks for a little bit, and then they're gone. And this is from the director of Asylum.
I guess you know, the fair comparison or parallel here would be like, maybe people look at it the same way they do something like No Country for Old Men, where you have kind of a modern-ish Western, a deconstruction of the Western in a way where, you know, in that case, it was the Coen brothers. There was a brand, and it had a supporting performance in Javier Bardem that sort of, in a way, transcended it and had people talking, and it had a semi-wide release. And this movie just doesn't really have those, I guess, points or those elements, I guess, that are working in its favor outside of just word of mouth over the movie itself. And maybe the director has a super bright future where he does become his own brand and people look back on this movie as, wait, why wasn't that nominated? That was good enough.
Yeah. And, you know, we got Ben Foster is like the current modern times Western actor. For me, and it's got so much potential. And I remember thinking years ago when I first seen him in some of these kind of Western movies, like, wow, he's going to be great one day. And he really hasn't really done a whole lot.
He's had his moments, you know, like 310 to Yuma, he was really good. And obviously he had that movie The Messenger with Woody Harrelson that that did have some Oscar nominations, and he was excellent in that. And yeah, you're right though. Like he's a guy who's been around. He's been in the business for a long time, and I think for a while people have been saying, "Look, this guy's got a future. He could be one of the great leading men." And he's you know, to his credit, he's been seemingly doing movies that interest him, you know, and appeal to his sensibilities, and he's still playing character roles, and he does have, you know, there are movies here and there like The Messenger and like Hell or High Water that serve as showcases for his talent, so maybe he still does have the bright future, but I do at least admire that he's picking projects that seem important to him.
Yeah, and, you know, I think pretty much any time, any movie with Jeff Bridges' name attached to it is probably going to get thrown in the Best Picture discussion, at least early on. So I don't know how much of a part he plays in Hell or High Water, but I do know his name's on the cast list, so maybe that has something to do with it.
And Craig, like, I just want to make a quick point about, you know, we've mentioned, like, three movies that especially stick out to us right now, just in terms of how the discussion is moving. And really, I want to talk about the five that we've laid out. So in the filmmaker, the type of filmmaker that is attached to all of them. So you have La La Land, you've got a guy like Damien Chazelle. This is his third feature film. And Whiplash, obviously, was a critical darling, and it got nominated for a bunch of Oscars. It even won Best Editing, which is amazing. But he's not, you know, he's not an Oscar guy. Like, and you've got Loving from Jeff Nichols. Again, he's an indie guy. He's not an Oscar guy, and he's making movies for Warner Brothers, like Midnight Special, and maybe he is a studio guy of the future. And then you've got the director of Sicario and Prisoners, and he's made some studio films. But again, I mean, I think you could classify him as an outsider, and maybe that all changes if the arrival. David Thewlis is going to be really mad about this in his Charlie Sheen sci-fi movie from a few years ago. Not getting the love that this did, but maybe this changes everybody's mind. Manchester by the Sea, Kenneth Lonergan has made three movies now, you know, with You Can Count on Me, which got some Oscar love, especially for Laura Linney, and its performances, and maybe that is the same fate for this movie, where the performances, again, like you said before, rise above the movie itself. And then you've got Moonlight with a complete unknown, you know, to most people, and Barry Jenkins. So the fact that you've got these five movies from these kinds of directors whose work has obviously been so strong that regardless of their lack of, again, going back to that horrible word, brand, as it plays into this Oscar season, the fact that their work really speaks for itself and is capturing the attention and imaginations of critics and people who are likely voters in races like these, that is something, even if we haven't seen these, to me, that is a tremendous sign of things to come this Oscar season. And look, there are prestige movies. You know, you've got things like Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk from a guy like Ang Lee, who has won two Oscars as a director and has had movies that have been, you know, steeped in the Oscar race, or Hacksaw Ridge from Mel Gibson, you know, which is on paper an Oscar movie, quote unquote, but because of Mel Gibson's, let's say, situation over the past several years, I'm not sure that he's going to be welcomed back with open arms into the Oscar race. So there, you know, look, there are a few of these again prestige pictures that look like Oscar movies, sound like Oscar movies. Maybe Allied from Robert Zemeckis with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard is one of those movies that sneaks in there. Maybe I don't know. Maybe Collateral Beauty, which stars Will Smith and another handful of like all-star actors. Maybe those, you know, are Oscar movies that get the nominations that they would have in the past. But I don't know, Craig. I look at the type of filmmakers, many of whom I really, really like going into these brand new movies that I've yet to see, and I think, wow, maybe this is one of those years where, like a movie like Boyhood and Birdman and Grand Budapest Hotel, they sneak in, they become major players. Maybe this is one of those years again.
Yeah, I was. That's. I'm glad you kind of brought those directors up, because I was, you know, is Martin Scorsese not coming out with a film this year as well?
Yeah, well, Silence, maybe. The Silence has been coming out for the past 20 years.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. It could happen, and if it does, that has to be something you also consider.
So as you mentioned, these players that we see from year to year with, like, Ang Lee and from year to year, but he's definitely a player, I think, that have not had their movies in festivals to date this year. And so, therefore, they're not really getting talked about as much. But I think we have to consider these because, at 70, 80% of these movies we're talking about right now that we talked about before you listed those other directors are going to be off this list come November or December. And I think maybe 60 to 80, I think they're going to be replaced with some of these more household names that we know just because that's kind of the nature of the arena. You're a household name. You're automatically in the discussion. And I think the critics are going to watch some of these other movies, and I think it's going to flesh out some of those that are the pretenders and some that really should belong there. Although, you know, movies like La La Land and The Birth of a Nation have already been screened by many people and are getting great reviews. But I think we've got to consider the movies that we haven't heard anything about but that are getting made or in post-production or that are just sitting waiting to get released by well-known directors that have proved themselves before and have been awarded by the Academy before. And I also think every year it seems like there's at least one movie, no more than two probably, that come out of nowhere that no one's heard of and just kind of find their own place on the list. And I think we've got to watch out for that as well, you know. What was that year like? I don't know. Was there one last year that kind of just came out of nowhere? Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends. You know, like Spotlight came out last year, and it seemed like it had a lot of buzz as soon as it came out, and then it died, and then it sort of like revived itself again. So it's fluid. You know, like it's always changing. I mean, The Revenant seemed like the movie. Like as soon as The Revenant came out and people saw it, it seemed like The Revenant was going to win every Oscar, and it won a bunch of Oscars. But then it you know, people were like, wait, no, Spotlight, remember? And so yeah, like it seems like people's memories are less foggy now, and maybe that's, you know, a credit to the strength of the campaigns in the fact that they know that, look, if we don't keep these trains rolling, we're going to get left out, we're going to get forgotten, and the whole conversation is going to change on us. But yeah, I mean, we mentioned those, and again, going back to the Oscar movies on paper category, you've got something like Fences, the Denzel Washington directed adaptation of the play that he performed in on Broadway, and Viola Davis is in that. So there's prestige with that. There's this movie The Founder about the guy who founded McDonald's, starring Michael Keaton, and Michael Keaton is obviously a guy now who has reestablished himself as an Oscar guy and somebody to keep an eye on. And I don't know if Ben Affleck's new movie Live by Night that he's directed, I don't know if that's going to get a release in time for Oscar season, because we're talking about a wide release in January, but there are rumors that it could come out, you know, in late 2016 in order to compete for Oscars. So you've got Ben Affleck, who's obviously somebody who has directed a film that has won Best Picture, the last film that he directed, in fact. So yeah, there's still more to come, and we have no idea, you know, if these movies are going to live up to, again, the hype and the reputations of the people who have attached themselves to them. And that's the thing about Oscar season, Craig. It's like what I hate about it is again, people falling for Oscar bait and people just assuming that this type of movie will be nominated. And you know, I'm guilty of it too, because I'm sitting here talking about a bunch of movies I haven't seen. But again, like, we've just seen it too many times before now where this type of movie does get nominated, this type of movie falls by the wayside and gets ignored. But it seems like there is a substantial conversation finally happening now where we do have a sort of clearer idea of things that we think probably will wind up with nominations.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't think we'll come up with our first predictions quite yet, will we? Maybe that's for next month. But
it's going to come down to Miles Teller versus Logan Lerman in Best Actor. I can tell you that.
Well, this might be the last year I do the Oscar season with you, if that happens. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like even if I loved a Miles Teller performance, look, I thought he was really good in Whiplash last year. It's like the good thing he's done. So I think you liked him in Rabbit Hole too, right? Like
yeah, that's the first thing I saw him in was Rabbit Hole, and I loved him in that. And then
yeah.
You know, what do you expect? A young man's gonna he's a great actor. He's gonna grow up in the business, and he's gonna be. Would you call him kind of like a heartthrob? I don't think I would look at him and say, but I think
he's a leading man.
Yeah. So, but he's in some annoying films. So I understand that he's not, he's not the most annoying actor for me. He's not a Paul Dano quite yet. they look identical.
Well, what I was going to say is it's like, even if I love Miles Teller, his performance in a movie like Whiplash or even Bleed for this, which is going to be his sort of Oscar-y movie this year.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I'm going to root against him, even if he gets nominated for something. Same with Logan Lerman. Logan Lerman, you might get nominated, but I'm going to root against you. And if it comes down to the two of them, God knows what I'll do.
I've got nothing against Logan Lerman. It's just I just don't like him. I really, I don't know why. I don't know why that is. But I can't. These boxing movies. I mean, can we take a back seat for that? Can we table that for a decade?
Yeah.
It so rarely does it live up to. I mean, Rocky is the exception. Okay, and then maybe, you know, there are a couple of others.
Well, Million Dollar Baby and Raging Bull, and you know, I personally really liked Cinderella Man. So look, there are some good boxing movies, but you're right. It seems like anytime there's a new boxing movie, that's going to be like, this guy's going to win Best Actor. He got into shape, man. He lost all this weight. He put his body and his mind through the ringer to play this boxer, and it's like, okay, so what? There's like
three
movies this year. Okay, and we've seen the boxing thing. The Fighter is another one. Like, we've seen.
I love The Fighter.
Yeah, it's good.
The
boxing movie
was about a family. It was a great. It had this other whole other thing going on with it. You know,
look, boxing movies tend to be good. Yeah, I love sports movies, and I really like boxing movies. But golly, just because it's a boxing movie, that does not mean that it's automatic Oscar. You know, like I haven't even seen Southpaw.
How could you watch the trailer for Southpaw and think that was going to be anything but a movie that's in the theater for a month, maybe?
Yeah, it's just like the quintessential, like, September, October filler movie, you know?
Well, I'm a
Jake Gyllenhaal shredded, so, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I mean, come on. But, you know, are there any, listen, I'm not making any accusations, but are there any law rules against actors or actresses participating in any performance-enhancing drugs for roles, or is that kind of fair game?
Hey, I can't comment on any specific performance or actor or actress, but I'm guessing it's probably fair game, man.
Why not? I mean, why not? I'm not saying that's wrong, but...
But see, that's the thing, though. It's like, why, and this is a larger conversation we're talking about here, but in a different one, but why, just because somebody gets in great shape or gains a lot of weight or loses a lot of weight or... Yeah, like that is something that has nothing to do with the performance itself. You know, like that's something that obviously
helps
you prepare for it, but it's just, it's an intangible, right? Like it's not something that is the performance. Like you can lose a bunch of weight, but like you gotta act, you know, you gotta
right.
Be that character. So for me, like, when someone gets nominated or there is talk that, oh, well, they make physical transformation, so I guess we have to vote for them, right? Like,
right.
I don't buy that at all.
Well, and yeah, I agree. You know, it's oh, for free, you have to get in the best shape of your life at a period in world history where we worship people for their perfect body images. Oh, you poor, wow, you deserve an Oscar. I completely agree with you on that one. You look at Christian Bale and The Machinist and how just puny he got for that. Now that's something I can see. Okay, I think in every aspect of this, you say, oh, they really care because they are putting forth this effort. But you know, bulking yourself up is one thing, and then starving yourself is another. But then pulling this back around to Oscar talk, the Academy absolutely goes for transformation all the time, but more so just like with makeup or just the way someone, their performance itself.
Yeah, that to me, in the physical transformation, that's like more production design than it is actual acting, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so Tom Hanks grew a mustache for Sully, so I guess we should nominate him.
So if we go back on Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady, that there was some transformation there, and I think that's part of why the Academy lets it, because she acted like an old lady pretty well, yeah, an old British lady, for that matter. But also they go after the transformations and not so much the bulking up or the, you know, but more so the what have you done to your body for this role? Like what have you done? You know, like I think it's more of a either suffering for it or maybe the production quality or the makeup and hair are just so outstanding that they kind of go for that. But yeah, they do go for it.
Absolutely. But, you know, it always comes down to the movie's got to be good. The performance has got to be good. I don't care about all the transformation and all that crap.
Well, look at Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln. That's another good example, I think, is just as much of that transformation for the hair and makeup for that, because they really made him look like Abraham Lincoln. And I've seen Abraham Lincoln. He looked exactly like him. His performance was transformative. He was completely different. He wasn't Daniel Day-Lewis with an accent or with a higher pitched voice. He was Abraham Lincoln, you know? And I think there's great actors and actresses out there that are themselves in a good performance or a great performance, not necessarily in a transformative like Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club. That was insane. Or even Jared Leto, for that matter. I thought those were both great performances, and they're both transformative completely.
Yeah, definitely. You're totally right. They're really good performances. I personally kind of have no doubt that the weight loss played a part in why voted for those performances.
Yeah,
and that's okay. Like, it can play a role in it, but I just hope that people aren't voting according to that, you know? Like, I hope that it's not their primary reason. It's like, well, he's brave because he ate, you know, he ate salad for...
Yeah. He woke up at 3 a.m. every morning for 6 months to eat a grilled chicken. I think they do, for better or worse. I think they do. Maybe not on the more muscly end of things, because when have we seen a movie where an actor really kind of bulks up and gets ripped, and then that picture gets nominated for something? But so enough about that topic. I do wish Jared Leto was transformed his way on out of my life.
Okay, well, yeah, that's fair, I guess. Maybe, like, transform his way to the Ukraine.
Go on to the Ukraine, my friend.
So, okay, let's focus back on the Oscars just real quick for a minute. So is there anything else, like, you've got your eye on, whether it's a performance or a movie that's just sort of like that nobody's really talking about right now, or they are, where you're like, okay, this I think is something to keep an eye on?
There's nothing that I've seen right now that really just makes me want to, that's really got me so excited about a particular movie. I'm excited because it's time to start talking about these movies, but there's not a movie out there quite yet that has me just, you know, jumping for joy. I hope Scorsese's film gets released this year. That would be great. I think it sounds like a cool movie. I do hear a lot about Fences. I do want to see that, because I think there's going to be some great performances in that. You know, I don't know. La La Land. I saw the trailer for La La Land. I hear great things about it. I'm just not tripping over myself. Jeff Nichols, Loving, I definitely want to see. I think that's going to be really great. What about you?
Yeah, you know, the movies you mentioned, I really want to see. I just am all in on Damien Chazelle right now after Whiplash. I really like the movie that much. And, yeah, Jeff Nichols is a guy I've really liked so far. I can't say I've loved his movies so far, but I think the guy has enormous potential, and the story is amazing in Loving, and the trailer is fantastic. And I think the movie that, honestly, Craig, I guess the narrative that I'm kind of keeping my eye on is I go back to Mel Gibson in Hacksaw Ridge. And, again, I've heard some good things about it and that people like the movie. But I think I don't think it's going to win anything necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but the narrative I'm interested in is – Where is Mel Gibson with Hollywood right now? Like, where is he with the Academy? Are they going to welcome him back? Because, I mean, this is a guy who was a huge movie star and a guy who won Oscars for directing and producing. Obviously, Braveheart was a big deal in the mid-90s there when he won the big Oscars. And he was a guy who could kind of do no wrong for a little while until he did some wrong. And things changed. And he sort of became exiled. And so... Now that he seems to, I don't know if he just wants to make movies or what, but it seems like he kind of wants back in, and he's making a movie that, for all intents and purposes, looks like that kind of movie and doesn't really seem to have, say, the edge that Apocalypto or The Passion of the Christ even had. It looks like a more traditional piece of Hollywood storytelling, and it looks like a fine war film, and I'm sure it will be, but I'm interested to see what what the collective response is from not only Hollywood, but just Academy voters specifically, and fans for that matter, to see if they forgive him for everything that he's done in the past several years, and to see if Hacksaw Ridge is one of those movies that can even be a part of this conversation, or if they'll just cast it out and ignore it.
So I think this would be another good topic for the whole Nate Parker conversation, different situations, obviously, but I think there's a conversation that can be had around Hollywood and the Academy and welcoming back individuals of, you know, ill repute or kind of a muddy reputation or have proven themselves to do bad things. In the past, we've seen Hollywood and, you know, the Academy welcome back and even award individuals like this. This is like Roman Polanski gets the standing ovation for The Pianist.
Yep.
And even Charlie Chaplin, you know, received a very warm welcome. And those are different situations, but also different periods of time. I try never to judge people in the past by my own magnifying glass of my own present day. And there is one exception to that, and that's Adolf Hitler, obviously. But I don't, you know, there's just kind of, there's situations and time gone by and you know, things, you know, it's just, you can't look back and say, judge someone by the same scale that you would judge someone here now. Not that you can judge anyone, but yeah, so I think, you know, if they don't, and another thing I do want to mention is you see Ricky Gervais and how harsh he was to Mel Gibson in those times that he hosted the Golden Globes, but you also saw Mel Gibson out there with him sort of taking it right there on the chin and seemingly good humor. So who knows, maybe that image will help. You know, he knows he's kind of done some crazy stuff, and will he do more crazy stuff? Probably. He seems to almost just desire to do crazy wrong or say crazy wrong things in interviews and stuff. But I think it would be slightly hypocritical of the Academy to kind of shun Mel Gibson when they've welcomed others back with open arms that have a more sort of physically more ill intent towards other human beings. They've welcomed those people back. We'll see.
That's interesting. And you're right. Polanski is definitely, it's a weird precedent for them to set. I mean, Woody Allen, they've given an Oscar since his whole deal, you know, that keeps coming up, you know, seemingly every other year. Anytime he has
another movie come out. I mean, he won an original screenplay Oscar for Midnight in Paris in 2011. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like they're selectively forgiving. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, with Nate Parker, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how that plays out.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, it's not to say that Hacksaw Ridge or Mel Gibson will get nominated for anything, but it is coming out soon, and it, so far I believe it's getting positive reviews, so we'll see. Maybe it's going to take a couple of movies for him, but I don't know. That to me is an intriguing storyline regardless of actual Oscar attention. So, all right, man, well, is there anything else?
No, I think that about does it.
All right, then. Until next time.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.